Rise and Shout Podcast, Season 9, Episode 395. Of course, we're brought to you by CougarFan.com. Get all of your BYU sports news there. I think I said 395 last time, and I was wrong. It wasn't 395. It was 395.
Because you don't know how to count. You're bad at math.
It's really high. You can't count 395 on your fingers, bro.
Well, you can. You just have to make several rounds.
Yeah. You count to 395 right now. Let's hear it.
It's going to take me 395 seconds.
That's all right. This is going to be a long show.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
They'll think it's hilarious. Everybody finds counting hilarious.
It'll be funny. Like, numbers 1 through 10 will be funny. Then, like, 10 through 20 is awkward. Around 35, it's kind of funny again. But then by the time you get past 60, like, the joke will be dead.
Yeah. I think you're right. So Matt, when are you seeing the rise of Skywalker?
So originally, I was supposed to buy tickets for this Friday. Didn't get to it in time. So now I'm going to have to figure out when we're going to do it over the break because I don't know. But it's not going to be Friday because I can't get good seats. I got like you can sit in the front row now, but I mean, who does that?
I did that for Endgame.
Remember when the day Endgame came out? I saw it twice, back to back. The second showing, I was on the front row of an IMAX theater.
Oh, good golly! No. Yeah, don't do that.
Like I had to turn my head to look for a person, one somebody's left eye to their right eye. Like you're so close to the screen.
Yeah, I went one time as the last second to. I think it was Infinity War, on my birthday, or maybe it was Age of Ultron. It might have been a while ago. But to one of the Avengers movies, and we kind of did it last second, my oldest daughter and I, and when we got there was only second row, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. Second row and on the end.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a pleasant experience, so I'm with you. Well, you should find some tickets. Find some tickets. You know, Christmas Day, what else you got going on?
We might do that.
You know? And we just did Thanksgiving week. We went to Frozen 2 with the fam, filled up an entire row at your theater there in Youstown.
That was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, and we were pretty much the entire row, right?
I think I bought 20. It was more than 20. No, it was 20 seats. And the row was like 24 seats. Yeah. Pretty crazy.
I'm lost in the woods, Matt. I'm lost in the woods.
That was fantastic.
So let's keep talking about movies. And by the way, I'm super excited about Rise of Skywalker. Let's keep talking about movies as we open up the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So Nicoletto, that's at @NAletto on Twitter, says Top Gun. # am I right? # talk to me, Goose. # tweet bag. # climb on in. Matt, have you seen, he also sent us a tweet earlier in the week about, have you seen this trailer? Have you seen the trailer for Top Gun Maverick?
Yes.
And? You excited?
You can be my wingman anytime.
That's right. I was just disappointed that, it appears that he ended up with a different woman, not Kelly McGinnis.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not surprising. You know, relationships built on a singular intense experience never last.
That's true. And there was an age difference, I believe.
Yeah, there was always going to be. You know, they were doomed from the start.
They were doomed from the start, just like Johnny and his not Johnny and his girlfriend.
I don't know who you're talking
Karate
about.
Karate Kid. Who's the main character?
Oh, Daniel LaRusso.
Daniel LaRusso and what's her face?
Yeah, they were from two different worlds. It was never going to work out.
You hit the second movie, and I remember sitting there in the theater for the second movie as a kid and being like, wait a second, they didn't even last the year? And thinking at the time, like, well, that's not realistic. And then realizing that later on, that's completely realistic with high school.
And then you got around to the third movie, and he was into some girl in Okinawa.
That's right. So... anyway,
and I don't even know what happened by the time you got to the series. I mean, I don't even know. I didn't see any of those shows. That was it on Netflix or whatever?
It's
that
on
series?
YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. I never saw it.
If it had been on Netflix, we would have seen it.
there's some love interest, I'm sure, but
no, I'm sure. I mean, it's just him and Johnny fighting each other again. Crane kicks.
Dressed up like a shower, throwing eggs at each other.
That's right. That's right. Kicking them while they're down. Have you seen that stupid thing where Johnny's like not the villain?
Johnny is not the villain.
Oh, for the love. Johnny is. He is a villain.
No, a new kid moved into the school and decided he was going to fight the most popular kid he could find to try and prove himself.
Oh, stop.
And then he. And then he convinced a creepy old man to beat up a bunch of high school kids. Like, what's that all about?
They beat Weird. Danny to a pulp first, by the way.
Well, he started it.
He started it, so that's okay. He
dropped the hose in over the top of the bathroom stall. Like, come on, man.
Johnny had already, like, tripped him and harassed him and bullied him before that. I think you're not remembering this movie, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyway, Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney!
At Justin D. Sweeney says, most controversial Christmas movie hot take. Hashtag tweetback. Do you have a Christmas movie controversial hot take?
Yes. Oh, I do. This okay, is I don't subscribe to this, but I feel like this is a controversial Christmas movie hot take, and it is this. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. That's a controversial hot take.
It's not controversial.
And it's wrong.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Are you kidding me?
How is it a Christmas movie? It happens
takes
at,
place
Christmas.
At Christmas.
So that's the only qualification?
People say Merry Christmas in it. It's a story about
Christmas.
Repaired relationships and reconciliation. Isn't that what Christmas is all about?
No, it isn't. It isn't about any of those things you just mentioned.
Sure it is.
Oh,
sure it is.
Okay. I have that hot take, but I'm going to give you another one. Okay, I'm going to give you another one. The Polar Express is a terrible movie and does massive disservice to the book.
Wow.
How's
wow, you
one?
Went right at the heart of Christmas
right
there,
the,
didn't you?
At the heart of Christmas. That movie is
Tom Hanks?
Terrible.
Tom, why are you dragging Tom Hanks through the mud for this?
I love Tom Hanks.
What did
Hanks,
he do to you?
But it's terrible. And the whole, like, the train goes up and down. They, like, turned a really cool kid's book into a generic kid's Christmas movie.
See, the tough part about what they did is they took a kid's book that's like 12 pages long and tried to make it a 90-minute movie.
It's tough. With all those, like, the Grinch, like, I'll tell you what, the original Grinch TV movie is still the best one because it just does
the animated
book. Yeah, the animated one. The live
it's
action
short enough that it just hit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the live action Jim Carrey, we made the mistake last year or the year before. It was free on something, that some streaming service. And it is a terrible movie. And it is not a kid's movie. There's lots of inappropriate, like, sexual humor in that movie. But then we watched the new one last year, the Benedict Cumberbatch one. And I thought that one was cute. That was fun. But no, I'm no good on the Polar Express movie. No bueno. No bueno. You clearly disagree.
I don't like.
See, you don't even disagree with me. You're just trying to get me all
I
riled
would,
up.
Listen, if we were to divide into two camps of like ardent supporters and detractors of that film, I believe I'd be a fence sitter.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. I get it. Well, I'm going to change Sweeney's next
Tom
question
Hanks.
Here for a second. I love Tom Hanks. You know that I love Tom Hanks.
Apparently not.
Almost every Tom Hanks movie, I'm a big fan. I even like Joe versus the Volcano.
Who doesn't like Joe versus the Volcano?
So Matt, imagine BYU football had all the money in the world. Okay?
Okay.
That's Sweeney's next question. And you just had a ton of money. Right? Who would you go after? I'm totally editing his question. What coach would you go after if also you could hire anybody?
If you could hire anybody.
He says Dabo. Coach? Sweeney. But you could go after any coach to come coach BYU.
See, I wouldn't go after Saban.
No, Saban would be a terrible fit.
Yeah, the runway just isn't right for Saban.
Nope. Dabo's not a bad pick.
No, Dabo's not a bad pick.
Is Charlie Weiss still available?
That would be a bad pick. Do you know I don't think I would mind is Tom Herman.
Tom Herman, interesting. Interesting. That's an interesting one. That's an interesting one. What about what about Mac Brown? If you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah, Mac Brown's got the same problem Saban does.
No, he doesn't. Mac Brown was coaching North Carolina. That's the only
time. That's the only time anybody would ever say what I just said.
Yeah,
but the problem I'm talking about is runway, right? Like I want a coach that's going to be around. If I'm going to sign one of these guys, the thing with Dabo is you'd sign Dabo and he'll be around for a long time, right? If you've got the money to pay him, like he's going to be around. Mac Brown, how much football does Mac Brown have left? How much football does Nick Saban have left?
All right. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how old Dabo is, but he looks, he's clearly younger than either of those two guys.
Well, he looks younger than me, but Chris, I believe he's older. Chris Peterson? He just retired.
Bring him out.
Bring him out. Offer him a bunch of money. Gary Payne's got a question for us. That's at FastBreakGP. Quick shout outs to cross country, both men and women. Nice job.
Way to go.
He says the BYU basketball better D and improved 3-point shooting make us a more formidable opponent. What else do you like about this basketball team? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag. Matt, I like everything about this team.
Being able to play with your full complement of players, unencumbered by useless and arbitrary and misapplied stupid NCAA rules, turns out to make a pretty big difference. So the thing I really like about what I've seen lately is Yoeli Childs.
Yeah, Yoeli Childs helps a lot. You take the Utah loss out, which you can't because it happened.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It's a thing. But, it's Yoeli's first night back. And first nights back are the worst. The team's been playing, right? Playing without him. Yeah, he had been practicing, right? Or he'd been restricted from practicing. I think he'd been practicing.
No, I think he was allowed to practice.
Yeah. So, but you're playing with him practice, but games are different. But for a second, humor me and take that game out. We play, outside of that game, terrific defense, which has been one of the criticisms of the more recent teams, defense and defensive effort. And then our offense, until Yoeli came around, had been very, very reliant on people having a hot night with the three-pointer. And we still have had some really good nights since him. Since he came back, but I mean, he's opening up now wide open threes, right? Because of the doubles that he commands in the paint, and the defense, it's a lot of the same players. Tyler Haas's defense, TJ Haas's defense is, I don't even know where it came from, to be honest. I mean, it feels like defensively he's a different player than he was the other 3 years he played here.
Yeah, he looks different.
And it's not just him, right? Celia seems like a different player. So, whatever Pope's doing, it's working. Is it sustainable? Is it going to work long term? Who knows? I hope so. But it's working now.
Yeah, I mean, but I like the rebounding.
Yeah, I like the rebounding.
I feel like we've, for years, at this point in the season, we would still be talking about tinkering with the lineups. But Pope clearly knows who his top guys are, and he's playing like the same guys.
Yeah, he knows who his seven or eight guys are, and that's who he's playing.
Yep.
And barring foul trouble,
he knows who his core five are. I mean, yeah. And so I do like that. I think that's going to pay dividends down the road.
Yeah. I think it's just it's a different feel than the last couple of years. And I really like it. And you look at, the advanced statistics, which kind of means something by this point, and you don't have, besides Childs, you don't have anybody playing at an elite level, but you got a bunch of guys playing at an above average level.
Right.
Right? Celius is playing well. Nixon, Barcelo, Toulson until Childs came back, I think had been the best player on the team. And TJ Haas, we kind of, somebody, I forget who, hammered him, a few weeks ago on the show in a question. And he's not playing at elite level, but he's playing fine. He's playing well and is where he should be at this point. So though statistically this is probably he's not playing as well as he did last year, but I think that has to do with the makeup of the team as much as anything. All right. Any other comments on basketball before we move to the next question?
I'm good.
This is an email from Aaron Chesley. And if you want to email us, that's risingshotpod@gmail.com. This was a couple weeks old. It hit us actually 2 weeks ago. Should have been in last podcast, but I messed up and didn't put it in the agenda. But it's still good. Aaron says, longtime listener, first time comment, though I've laughed and talked back to my PC many a times while listening to you guys. Well, we haven't heard anything he said, Aaron. Back to the PC.
That's how that works.
That's how it works. That's right. He says
it's like when you make references to people being able to see us.
Yeah, yeah.
Just not a thing.
Yeah, it's the like the famous line. Is that from Three Amigos? Listen, can you smell that? Yeah. Am I saying that right? Is that a Three Amigos line?
Funny is there are languages where the verb for to listen and to smell, or to hear and smell are the same.
Really? Like yes. Russian?
Ukrainian.
Ukrainian. Huh. Look at you,
linguistics major. There's a word that could mean both things. So that joke's not funny.
In Ukrainian.
Not funny.
I'm not sure Three Amigos translates to Ukrainian.
I think anybody's going to laugh when the invisible swordsman gets shot. Funny.
You just shot the invisible swordsman. Yeah, but like a lot of it's wordplay. Like, would you like to kiss me on the veranda? No, the mouth will be fine.
There's a lot of that. He's infamous. That means more than famous. That's not going to translate.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, comedy's hard. Comedy's hard.
Like Chevy Chase dumping his canteen out, swishing out, and putting the lip balm on. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. No, Chevy Chase doesn't. Is it Chevy Chase that does that?
Yeah. Martin Short gets a canteen full. Nothing. Martin Short gets a canteen full of sand, Chevy Chase is like guzzling his, pouring it out,
spitting
swishing
it out,
dumping on his head, and then puts on the lip balm.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie. So Aaron says, am I off base in hoping that the contract extension for Satake is contingent on him finding a new defensive coordinator? By the way, I don't mind when you guys discuss baseball, women's volleyball, women's soccer, non-football, sports, and movies. Keep up the good work. We don't mind when we talk about this stuff either. But
and
some of you
Amigos,
whiners
that
do.
That Three Amigos conversation was just for Aaron.
That's right.
There you go, Aaron.
Some of you big whiners out there care. I'm looking at you, Sweeney, when we talk about baseball.
Sweeney loves baseball. He just doesn't want to publicly admit it.
That's true. So is he off base?
Probably a Dodgers fan.
Probably is a Dodgers fan.
Dodgers.
Dodgers, they're the worst. So is he hoping that the contract extension, is that off base?
I know what you're going to say is that the statistics don't support replacing the defensive coordinator.
I don't know if they say don't replace him. That is not, I think, what I would say, because I'm going to not say that. I'm going to say they don't support that he's terrible and the reason that BYU has been mediocre the last few years. That's what they don't support. But a 62nd ranked defense, according to Football Outsiders this year, and last year it was about the same or a little bit better. Those aren't great numbers, right? And the defense has been widely uneven this year. Had some really good games and had some very, very poor games, right?
Yeah.
Real good game against USC, really bad game against South Florida, for example.
I don't know that making the contract extension contingent on finding a new defensive coordinator is quite the right move, but I think you got to make it clear to Satake that there needs to be improvement, and that he's going to be held responsible for the performance of the offense and the defense. And if he believes that that he needs a new defensive coordinator, then he should go do that. But if he decides to keep him, if he decides to keep Tuiaki, then he's going to have to wear that.
So let me ask you, we've talked about this before. You're Satake, you're in charge. Are Grimes and Tuiaki your coordinators for the 2020 season?
No.
You go find two new guys.
Yes.
Are the replacements on staff?
The offensive replacement may be on staff. The defensive replacement, depending on what you decide to do. I mean, if I were Satake, I might take a run at running the defense.
Yeah. And
which is hard to do for
a you know, somebody that you can train and maybe take over
and
eventually.
Turn the reins over to after a year or two. You know, because he's got Lamb, who's got some head coaching experience, right? In a position to help take over some of the head coaching responsibilities. Now, granted, I mean, Lamb wasn't a head coach at the D1 level, obviously. We understand that. But that's really what Lamb is there to do, is to try and help take the load off of a young, a newer head coach. You know, Satake's got a couple of years under his belt now. I think he could put a better defense together than we've seen since he came to Provo. So ideally, I'd love to see him try and take a run at it.
Yeah. I would probably keep both of them. And if I were Satake, I'd spend the whole a huge chunk of the offseason with Tuiaki figuring out a better defensive identity than what they've got today.
Which also accomplishes what I'm advocating, right, is for him to be more deeply involved. And the other thing, too, about Grimes is what we don't know is, you know, there was all this talk about what was Aaron Roderick's role as when the offense started to perform better, right? Who was calling the plays? Was it this committee type situation? Was Roderick the passing game coordinator? Were they doing it that way? And we think we have a handle on what was going on there, but I think my decision, if I'm Satake, would also have to be based around whatever that situation actually was, you know. And if Grimes was still making the play calls, you know, and was still the final voice in the room around the offense during that when things improved, then I think you probably keep him, you know, because you've got some momentum behind it. He's kind of figured it out. So I think you keep him there. So it really depends. So let me back up a little bit. I answered that question pretty quickly, but I think a lot of it depends on what's actually happening in those rooms, in those offices.
Yeah. But just in general, you're not going to be surprised, nor would you be like, what are they doing if both coordinators were not retained next year?
No, I think it would tell us exactly what did happen over the past couple of months.
Okay, that's fair. I think we'll see if the defense improved, and we'll preview the bowl game here in a few minutes. But I think this game against Hawaii will show a lot about the improvement of the offense, because Hawaii's defense is terrible, and I think people are overweighting what happened against San Diego State, who has a top 40 defense, versus what happened against a couple opponents before that, where the offense looked really, really good. Right.
Right. Right.
I think it's hard sometimes for us to separate that, but we'll get to some of that here in a minute. Mike Barlow says, which of the early football signees are you most excited about? Matt, do you have one of the signees where you're like super, super, super excited?
Yeah, Cody Epps.
Yeah, that's, I think, what everybody's going to say, right?
I mean, that's exciting. I mean, that's
28 touchdowns this year. 28 touchdowns.
I mean, it's been classified as a major steal.
Yeah. Three-star guy that could be four-star, depending on how you view him. I mean, he's certainly on the higher end of the three stars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
And to get him, it feels like they kind of got him at the last minute, right? I mean, he just made his official visit.
Do you know if does anybody know if he's a member?
I have no idea.
Is there a mission? None of the stuff I've seen has talked about mission plans. He may not be a member. Because quite frankly, we could use the help in 2020, right?
But the idea, everything I've read is the idea is that he's available in 2020. Now, that doesn't answer your question, right?
It does not. Because some of these signees, they say,
need him for. That's what we need him for, right? Like, who are we going to throw the ball to next year?
I don't know.
I guess Bushman should still be around, right? But you're losing Micah.
Bushman's not going to be around. He's going to go in the NFL.
You think? Ah, oh, geez, I feel
if
like
he gets a third, if he gets a third or fourth round grade, don't you go?
Yeah, I guess you do. But you think he's going to get a third or fourth round grade?
I've seen him that high in a few of the mock drafts so far. I don't know. I mean, the problem is, if you think you're going to be a fifth or sixth round pick, you stay. Because, yeah, you've got the chance of injury, but you don't want to be – we've talked about this every year with the draft. You don't want to be a sixth-round pick. You don't make the money. You don't
get to pick where you're going. You're going to get cut. You don't get to pick where
you go. You're on a short-term deal. You know, it's very easy to disappear in the NFL as a sixth-round draft pick. Now, as a third-round draft pick and you're the only tight end that team takes – you're likely going to be the backup and potentially the starter the next year if you perform well in camp, right? And if you're a second-round draft pick, you're the guy, right? So I don't know. I don't know. But your point is well taken. Even if you have Bushman, even if he stays, we're losing Simon, Hefo. Who else are we losing? I feel like there's another wide receiver that's graduating.
Shumway.
Yeah. You're losing like basically three of your top four wide receivers, right? And I don't know besides Romney if I'm excited about anybody that's left. So,
yeah,
besides Epps, who obviously is a major signee, let's see, where am I? I'm trying to find him.
Well, I'd go with there was another Christopher Jackson.
Christopher
transfer
Jackson,
from
yeah,
Mount
yeah.
San Antonio College in California is another big get, right?
Yeah. That's
and
big.
Then there's this third wide receiver who's this 6'2", 185-pound kid originally from France, who played his high school ball at Aquinas in San Bernardino.
All good wide receivers come out of France. We know that.
Well,
it's just a thing.
Sony Michel.
That's right.
He's from France, right?
He's running back, but sure.
Yeah, but he's from France. Do I know a whole lot of other football players from France? I don't. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Tony
I can't
Parker.
Think of another one. Well, there you go.
Plays basketball, but I bet you he would have been a terrific wide receiver.
He would have been terrible. He's way too short. I think we needed help in that area, so that was great. I'm not surprised by the Josh Wilson signing is not a shocker to anybody.
Tony Parker is 6'2", you ninny. He's freaking 6'2".
He's too small. yeah, I don't know. They seem to be pretty excited about the younger Wilson brother. I know Corner Canyon did pretty well this year, I think. I think they made a deep run, right? Did they win state? Or did they just,
so.
I don't know.
I think they had two titles in a row, or two out of the last three.
Yeah, but I don't, for me, it's the receivers are really the big deal. And then you've got some kids coming back from missions that I think I'm excited about, and I feel like you have to put those guys in this conversation. Linebacker Preston Lewis coming back, I think, is going to be a big deal. I don't know if any of these guys contribute. Maybe if you're back in January, December, January, can you contribute in the fall? Maybe, So yeah, there's some winners in there.
Yeah, I agree. I think overall though, I have to say we're looking at another mid 60s, 70 recruiting class. He's recruited. I'm not counting the first one because a lot of those were Broncos signees, right? He landed a couple guys in that one. He is not a good recruiter as Broncos staff. That's just empirically true. He has not put together a class that is ranked as high or as high or better than any of the classes Bronco had.
Well, see, where I think that Kalani Sitake gets this reputation and supports that reputation as a good recruiter is I'm going to use two examples real quickly.
Okay.
One is Zach Wilson. It's the Zach Wilson type story is what gets people all excited about Kalani Sitake's recruiting ability. Now, I'm not saying that should outweigh, the value of an entire class. Flipping one kid from Boise State to Provo who, you know, is going to be a multi-year starter for you. Yeah, that's a great move. And it's I don't know. And Mendenhall's staff was not going to get Zach Wilson. And the other one I'm going to throw out there is Epps. I don't think Mendenhall's staff pulls Epps to Provo either. But that, so those are the types of things people get excited about with Satake, is his ability to get that one kid, that one jewel, maybe the under-recruited guy, the three-star who's actually really probably a four-star, and get this kid to come to Provo that maybe would not have come otherwise because he's able to make some connection with him. But to your point, what we really ought to be thinking about is what is the recruiting class as a combined unit, and what do they really do? And that's, I think the time's, you know, the jury's still out on that, because as we've talked about before, as a recruiter at BYU, really what you have to do is all of your kids are going to be underrated, and you're going to go out there and get some kids that are underrated and get them to outperform their perception of them. And that's what you have to do to be successful at BYU.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I'll just add, he's got to have better recruiting classes. To go back to Aaron's email, I hope that they had very frank conversations with him that the recruiting is not sufficient. If Toledo's got the same ranked recruiting class as you, that's not okay. With our resources, connection to the church, all these other things, you should have a better recruiting class than 70th in the country. You just should. Well, you're never going to have top 25 because of the things BYU cannot do. And there's just certain people you're not going to recruit and they're not going to be interested in you either. Right. And that's fine, but you got to get top 50, you know, or in the 50s recruiting classes. And Mendenhall was able to do it. I think if Satake's got to be able to do that. And right now he hasn't done it.
Well, and what really adds fuel to your fire here is the decision of Andrew Gentry to go to Virginia, which is this is a Kalani Sitake, Bronco Mendenhall head to head over a kid that could go either way, a kid that was interested in both programs, was interested in both coaches.
Well, Bronco and I are in a fight.
Would have been the biggest get of this class for Sitake and his staff.
I'm in a fight with Bronco over this. I'm gonna fight.
Yeah, you know, but that's gonna add fuel to this fire. Is like, well, is he really a better recruiter? They went head to head, and that kid picked Virginia. But the tough thing about that is, like, there's a lot of factors that go into what school Andrew Gentry decides to go to, right? So I don't know that you can really just flat out pin that on one coach or the other. Because, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Like, that kid should be able to choose wherever he wants to go, and none of us should feel bad. It should have weird feelings about
him personally. Absolutely right. Not. He should totally
choose.
Agree with
he
you.
Should go, choose to go to school wherever he wants to go to school.
Pick the program you want to be in for academics, for football, for location, whatever the heck it is that is somebody's criteria. Pick that. You know, I think I'm totally with you. I will. Anybody that tweets at these people, stop listening to our show, because I don't want you to listen. If you're tweeting at a recruit because they picked somebody else, you're a moron, right? They should be able to make
their choice. But does this tell us anything about? I mean,
yes, it means he lost.
It's the relative positioning of the program and how that coaching staff connects with a highly ranked recruit.
Right, and obviously. There's, like you said, there's a lot of things in play here. Virginia is on the rise. BYU is kind of stagnant, right? Virginia had this, you know, historic season for them. Not that great of a season, right? I mean,
yeah, you're walking in there. You're going into that kid's house with a really good story to tell.
You're going in with a good story. And for whatever reason, I feel like a lot of fans hated on Bronco because they didn't like him in interviews. And discounted how good he was as a recruiter. Now, I don't think he's an elite recruiter individually. I think he's put together good staff. But there's enough anecdotal evidence and empirical evidence to say Bronco himself is pretty good at this, at doing what you talked about having that conversation with parents and and a young man and convincing them that this is the right program for them. And as fans, the fact that you didn't like his spiel when he quoted the Book of Mormon the first time, or you didn't like his demeanor in television interviews, is irrelevant to his ability to recruit in a living room of a 17-year-old. And I just, he's showing once again that he's a better recruiter. I mean, I don't know how anyone at this point can make the argument that Kalani's a better recruiter, even before the Gentry head-to-head thing. Because again, that's one person, right? We beat Utah sometimes. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden Whittingham's less of a recruiter than Kalani, right?
But you know, because my counter to the Gentry story is the Zach Wilson story.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Right?
My counter to your counter. You ready for my counter to your counter to your counter?
Oh, sure, because I've got a counter to your counter to my counter.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Jaren Hall is as good as Zach Wilson, so it wouldn't have mattered. How's that? I mean, it would have mattered last year, maybe, but it wouldn't have mattered this year. If Hall's healthy, do you think he's any worse than Wilson now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Hall's better than I thought he was,
remember
right?
Because
they're pretty comparable.
Big, huge gap, Matt said, between Zach and the other QBs. Big, huge gap.
Okay, so there wasn't as much of a gap. But at the end of the day, what's really important for Satake and his staff is not what this recruiting class is ranked. It's how they get these guys to perform.
In the end, you can overcome
that's
this.
That's really all that matters.
With great
like you
coaching.
Can have a 70th ranked recruiting class. If you go out in this schedule next year and the year after that, and you win more games than you won in 2019.
Boise State built their top 25 program off of recruiting classes that were about the same as what Kalani just brought in.
So
they get better. They get
this,
better recruits now. But when they built it and went to those big bowls, they had classes like this.
So if Kalani went and got the right guys, regardless of how many stars they are bringing with them to Provo, and he can do that with the kids that he picked, then I'm going to go ahead and say he's a better recruiter than Bronco. But we can't say that yet because we have to wait for these kids to take the field.
Yep, yep.
But if he's able to identify that talent in that star range, right, and bring the right combination of kids in and win with them, that's way more important to me than numbers of stars and rankings of recruiting classes. And that is the real recruiting skill, is finding the right talent. Because you know how many sets of tape they must get? You know how many high school football players there are out there?
I hear what you're saying.
Varying levels of competition and all this stuff. I mean, it is not. It's hard.
It's not a perfect science. Way better than it used to be. Right, we've talked about this before. Jim McMahon does not end up at BYU now like he did in the 80s.
With Bronco or Satake, he doesn't come either way.
He doesn't come either way. He ends up at a much bigger school because he would have been at these quarterback camps and people would have seen him and been like, holy crap, this guy's going to be good, right?
Okay, spoiler alert. In 2019, he goes to the University of Utah. The people are going to hate that I said that, but that's where he would have gone.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't. I don't think he would end up in the U. I think he ends up way better placed than the U. He would have been – look at how good he was. You can't tell me that wasn't identifiable when he was 17. Not that he wasn't coached well at BYU and all that. But anyway,
I didn't see any of the tape coming out of Roy High School.
Yeah, we'll leave that behind. But and move on to our preview of the San Diego State game. So that's our big why tonight. Is the preview of the San Diego State game. So speaking of QBs,
the Hawaii game, actually, but that's fine.
What did I say, San Diego State game?
Yeah,
why? I'd like to go back and play them again so we can win. So who should start at QB? So we've got an email, Matt. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Tim Jacobson says, I have been in the start Baylor camp since the Boise game. My reason is simple. He makes better decisions. He stretches defenses better by changing up the depth of his targets. He spreads them out vertically. Zach has better mechanics, etc., but he really wants to put the ball downfield regardless if it's there or not. That makes the defense guess less. That has caused critical turnovers and hurt our record. 100% would start Baylor in the bowl game and prep him to start next season. A little time to mature and see it from the sidelines would do Zach well, and also get him to transfer. Sorry, that was my parenthetical comment, not Tim's. Matt, putting you in Kalani and Grimes' shoes, who starts? Who should start if you were them against Hawaii on Christmas Eve?
I'm starting Zach Wilson.
As am I. Now, to be fair, Zach's stats this year versus last year are worse. His stats versus Romney and Hall this year are worse. Okay. Zach has only played against one terrible defense. Let's take out the Idaho State game, right? He played against a bunch of really good ones. Romney did play against a really good defense at Boise State and then played against some terrible ones where he put up his big numbers too, though he looked great in the Boise game. I think we're doing apples and oranges. I also don't know if Wilson was healthy in those last few games, fully healthy, which maybe means the coaching staff made a mistake starting against San Diego State. But San Diego State's a top 40 defense statistically, so they're
and I good. Don't and I don't believe he was 100%.
Yeah, but then he shouldn't have started, right? You have Romney at 100%, but they said Romney was banged up too, so maybe that's not fair either, right? Because if Romney was banged up too, then you're making a choice between two banged up quarterbacks, and your third guy's still in the concussion protocol, right? So like,
and he's probably never going to suit up again.
Oh, he's suiting up. He's playing on Tuesday. He's going to play in the game, man. He will get into the game. There's no way that Hall doesn't play on Tuesday. No way. He's playing. He hasn't withdrawn. I think if he was done, he'd already be done. You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
I think he's in, man. So we both start Zach. He throws a key stupid interception in the first quarter. What do?
I keep him in.
I also keep him in. Next fall, projecting, is Zach Wilson the starting quarterback in week one?
I think you go into fall camp with a legit quarterback competition.
Okay, that's great. Who's the quarterback?
I think it's Zach Wilson.
I think it's somebody else. So when
does Zach transfer? If that's true, when does Zach transfer? Does he transfer at the end of fall camp and save himself a year, or does he wait a couple games into the season and then pull out?
Here's the thing.
Because he won't stay. He won't be there in 20. If he's not the starter in 2020, he will not be in Provo in 2021.
Here's the thing. I think you're probably right. But if he's learned anything this year, is that. And BYU has had this history, but they're not the only ones. Everyone talks about BYU's had quarterback injury problems. Everybody has quarterback injury problems, right? Ask Alabama how that worked out for them this year.
Alabama, look at what their last couple of years have been like. It's been crazy.
Everybody, quarterbacks get hurt. That's what happens. So if you're Zach Wilson, I think, yes, you either decide I'm going to transfer at the end of fall camp, or you go for it and decide I'm just going to stay until I can become a grad transfer and do it without any penalty and see if somebody gets hurt and I get my job back, right? But that's idle speculation at this point. So let's talk about Hawaii. Why is the Hawaii game, Matt, going to be different than the San Diego State game? I've got some stats to tell you why, okay? Remember how the San Diego State game was kind of boring and a defensive battle?
A defensive battle is when you see two good defenses duking it out. That is not what we witnessed.
I thought both defenses.
It was just a low scoring game.
No, I thought both. I think you're smoking dope.
No, I enjoy watching good defensive battles. I enjoy that. But that game wasn't fun.
Both those defenses played well. I just don't understand what you're talking about. San Diego State played really well. Their defense. They had a great plan. They executed it well, made good individual plays. Yes, the offense wasn't great, but I thought both defenses played well. I didn't say the game is that entertaining. I hate defensive battles. I like offense. So I was kind of bored. But here's the difference. San Diego State, good defensive team, and a mediocre to bad offensive team. Let's reverse that. According to Football Outsiders, Hawaii has the 20th best offense in the country. Rutt row. And by the way, it's passing, not running, thank goodness. Though they do average 5-something yards per carry on the run game. Their defense is 112th. This will be the second worst defense we have played against this year, with UMass being the other one. How do we do against UMass,
That one
offensively
seemed to
speaking?
work out.
So
Seemed to work out.
this
But I
is
mean,
not
Hawaii is
going to be
giving
the
up
San Diego
more than
State game.
30 points a game.
Oh yeah, this is not the San Diego State game, right? Don't expect to see, and against San Diego State, quite frankly, the offense put up yards. We just couldn't execute past the 40, right?
It's so weird.
Yeah, it was a terrible game. Now BYU is 62nd, according to Football Outsiders, in both offense and defense. So, and both units were all over the place throughout the year, right? Had great games against great competition and terrible games against terrible competition, right? So, which offensive unit shows up against? Is it going to be the team, the offense that was against UMass and Boise State, or is it going to be the offense that was against University of Utah and South Florida and Toledo?
It's the former.
Okay, so you think we're
The
going to
good
score a bunch of
offense.
points?
Yeah, I think the good offense shows up.
Wilson puts up a lot of yards.
Yes.
Looks great. I'll tell you what.
Bushman is back in form.
Bushman is back in form.
Bushman, I'm going to go ahead and say Bushman becomes the key component to the passing game.
I mean,
Has a
he
huge day.
leads the team in receiving yards. Second in catches, right? Second in catches to Simon.
He's second in catches with four touchdowns. Yeah, he's got, yeah.
And I'll tell you what will make a massive difference for this team is Finau being there and healthy. Mean, he
Yeah, that's a big
averaged
deal. That's a
six
big deal.
yards a carry, most on the team. Granted, some of that was against not great defenses, but more than Tyson Williams did. And I'm not saying he's better because obviously, like I said, the defenses they played against were not the same. But Finau, I just we talked about this at the beginning of the year. The depth and the running back position was not where we wanted it to be. And maybe it was better than we thought, quite frankly, because I didn't expect Finau to be this good, but it still was a problem. It ended up proving to be a problem, right?
Right. And aren't we glad that the depth turned out to be better than we thought?
Oh yeah,
And
for sure.
here we are walking into a bowl game against a team, where we're kind of on our last leg, really, at the running back spot. But we're going against a team that's allowed 200 rushing yards a game.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to run the ball against these guys. I think there will be holes, and I think that's a good sign for us. So, Matt, let's talk about one obvious prediction. What's one obvious thing that you think is going to happen on Christmas Eve besides Santa coming?
The field's gonna be wet.
That's obvious.
It's Hawaii,
It's
dude.
Hawaii,
It
yeah. Yeah,
rains
it
every
rains.
single
Yeah, it
day.
rains all the time. Okay. My obvious
How about the.
one is there will be lots of points scored.
Oh, I was gonna go with not a lot of people in the stands.
That's another
I
good
think they're
one.
gonna struggle. I think getting Hawaii as the opponent in there is great, right?
They
So, and I think
struggle.
that helps sell tickets, but
Hawaii struggles to get people to their games when it's not Christmas Eve.
yeah,
Right.
I think that it'll be interesting to see what the attendance is there. But yeah, a lot of points scored. I can get on board with that.
And one bold prediction for next week.
Zach Wilson throws five touchdown passes.
Right. My one bold prediction is one of the running backs, I'll just say Finau, rushes for 200 yards.
That's insane.
Single running back has a big, huge, massive game.
You realize if Finau ran for 200 yards, he would increase his total yardage on the season by more than 50%.
Yeah, sure, why not? If any of them rush for 200 yards, they're going to do that.
I mean, he's only got 359 yards on the season.
Yes, I mean, here's the thing. Katoa has
307. That's a career day. Career day for Finau. Love it.
Jackson McChesney basically has one day rushing for nearly 200 yards, right? Or was it over 200 yards?
That was a lot of yards.
It was a lot of yards.
I think he ran all the way from Amherst to Boston.
Yeah, I think he did, actually. That's factually true. So, Matt, the line is 2. Are you liking BYU with that line?
I'm taking BYU with that line.
Yeah, me too. And final score prediction for the Hawaii Bowl.
BYU wins. Lots of points are scored. Final score, 38-28.
I'm going to say BYU wins, lots of points scored, BYU 41, Hawaii 30. 70 points scored in this one.
What's the I didn't even look at what the over under is. 64.
64.
Wow.
I mean, Vegas thinks there's going to be a lot of points scored. So speaking of bowl games, Matt, we have this tradition that I thought of destroying, of not doing our annual
the bowl extravaganza.
Bowl extravaganza, and then I thought that's stupid. Why would I do that? So
why would you do that? We
are about to preview. We're not going to do all of them this week. We'll do some next week. We're about to preview a bunch of bowls. Talk about teams we know nothing about, and that's what we're going to do now.
Because that's our thing. Because
that is our thing.
This is like the best. This is my favorite part of the year. You were going to get rid of this?
Well, I was going to.
I would have gone on strike.
I was going to ask you about it before I got rid of it. But then I decided I knew what your answer was going to be. And I didn't even want to do what I was suggesting. So why would I suggest it in the end?
I'm glad you came around.
All right. So are you ready to talk about bowl games we are not qualified to talk about?
Yes. And I cannot wait to watch them.
All right.
It's going to be awesome.
Here we go.
So excited. So much football. I've missed college football so much.
The Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl.
What does a Makers Wanted? I love these.
Is that alcohol? Can they do alcohol bowl games? I don't know what Makers Wanted is. It is between 7-5 Buffalo out of the MAC and 7-6 Charlotte. 7-5 Charlotte, sorry, out of the Conference USA. Buffalo is favored by 6.5 points. Matt, who you got in this one?
Sorry, I was trying to figure out what Makers Wanted is. I'm taking Buffalo.
Taking Buffalo. I'm also taking the Bulls, the Buffalo Bulls, not the Bills, just one letter different. Matt,
I just haven't seen Charlotte play this year. I don't know if she's any good.
Percent chance you see any of this game. That's the other thing we always say.
2 p.m. on a Friday. I'm not going to work that day. I have some Christmas shopping to do. 100% that I see some of it. Sure.
I'll still be at work. 0% I see any of this game.
I will text you from wherever I am while you're at work. Okay. It's going to be great.
The other game on Friday is the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl.
Between
a team we know well, 7-5 Utah State out of the Mountain West, 6-6 Kent State out of the MAC. Utah State is favored by 6.5. Who you got?
Is Love gonna play? You know he got arrested last weekend.
Love will not play.
I think that hurts.
I'm not announcing news here. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Love does not.
We're just guessing.
Yeah, just guessing.
Okay, so without Love, guessing. If all three of those guys don't play, I think I might give the edge to Kent State.
I'm still going with the Aggies over a 6-6 MAC team.
They've got to be so much better than
Golden
Kent State, right?
Flashes. You know what I mean? That's not even a mascot. So
I don't know.
The Aggies.
It's like an eagle with a lightning bolt on its head.
All right, percent chance you see some of this on Friday night. 100% chance 100%. I see some of this.
Actually, no.
No, zero. I'll be at the Star Wars. So I won't see either of these games.
Right. That's unfortunate. I'd Saturday. Love to watch that game while enjoying a tropical smoothie, but it's
true,
not going to work
too.
Out this year. Maybe next.
Saturday, 2 p.m., the New Mexico Bowl featuring Central Michigan and San Diego State. Of course, Central Michigan's out of the MAC, 8-5, 9-3, San Diego State. Let's see, who's favored in this one? Central Michigan's favored by 3.5? Really?
They're the Chippewas, right?
Yes, I believe you are correct.
I'm taking the Chippewas!
I am as well, because I can't pick San Diego State, even though my brain is telling me to pick San Diego State. My heart will not allow it. Matt, percent chance you will watch some of this game on Saturday.
I'll see some of it, I'm sure.
I was 100%. I'll see some of it. At the same time, you have the FBC Mortgage Cure Bowl, and that is between our new rival, Liberty, 7-5, independent folks there, and Georgia Southern, 7-5. Didn't they also beat Tennessee, or did they lose to Tennessee?
I think they lost to Tennessee the week after. Tennessee.
Out of the Sun Belt, I believe Liberty is favored by 4. Who you got in this one?
I'm taking Liberty, the Flames.
I'm going with the Flames as well. 100% chance I see some of this game.
Yep.
100% chance. On Saturday, there's two more games. There's the Cherubundi Boca Raton Bowl between SMU, who's 10-2, and 10-3, Florida Atlantic. SMU's favored by 3. Matt, who you got?
I'm taking FAU. We got to send Lane Kiffin out on a win. Is he going to coach the game?
No, he's not coaching the game, and I'm going with SMU. FAU's going to be a mess.
Yeah, if Kiffin's not there, then I got to go with SMU.
Kiffin's such a tool. Why is somebody hiring him? It's stupid. They'll get what they deserve in hiring him.
40 years later, the Mustangs are going to start making their comeback. It's for real this time.
It's for real this time. You bet it is. You better believe it is.
Sure it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what the NCAA did to them was just fine.
100% chance I see some of this. How about you?
Yeah, I'll see it.
Actually, there's a couple more. Oh my gosh, Saturday's
we got a bunch of games. Game. Saturday's going to be a great day.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. 5:30.
Saturday might be the day that my wife finally decides she's had enough of this. But we'll see.
5:30 Eastern time. You have the Camellia Bowl between 6-6 Florida International and 7-5 Arkansas State. Why is this game even happening? 2.5-point favorite for Florida International.
And isn't Crumpton Bowl like an old high school stadium? Didn't we look this up last year?
Yeah, we looked it up last time. It's bad. So Matt, who you got in this one? Who cares? I don't care.
Arkansas State.
Yeah, whatever. Sure. Percent chance to see some of this game, 0. I will take.
This is probably when I will break for dinner.
I'll take some time off. The Las Vegas Bowl, Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl is next. That's, of course, between 19-ranked Boise State. They're only lost to the BYU Cougars, by the way, and 7-5 Washington, who we lost to, interestingly enough, who didn't end up being that great of a team. Boise State's favored by 3.5. Matt, who you got?
I'm taking Boise Not a State University.
I am also taking Boise Not a State University, and 100% chance I see some of this.
Yeah, that's a good game.
I'm only doing 0 on 100%. That's not usually my thing. That seems like that's usually your thing. So
that's kind of where we've landed here, but that's fine.
Your thing. At 9 o'clock Eastern time, you have the New Orleans Bowl, the R&I Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Number 20.
It's R&L Carriers, but who's counting?
Whatever, I don't care. Number 20, is it, how do you say it? Is it Appalachian or how do you say this?
Is it Appalachian or Appalachian? I don't know. I don't know. Is it avocado or is it avocado?
Or is it tomato? 12-1 Appalachian avocado? State.
And avocado.
9-4 UAB. Appalachian, not a state, is favored by 16.5. I'm going with them. The Mountaineers.
Yeah, come on. They beat Michigan that one time. I'm on board.
Wasn't that in basketball or was that in football?
No, they beat him in football like 10 years ago, and that was right before they made the jump to D1.
Yeah.
And UAB is like their first season back after they took a season off. They can't even decide if they have football there or not.
They want to do it.
Tough situation.
So Monday, December 23rd, there's the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
Bad Boy Mowers is my favorite sponsor.
That's fantastic. 8-4 Marshall, 9-3 UCF.
Gasparilla, like sarsaparilla? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. The Knights are favored by 17.5. I'm going with Central Florida.
We are Marshall. I'm going to take Marshall here.
Sure.
For no reason at all.
For no reason at all. 100% chance I see. I'm going to say 85% chance I see some of this game.
But this is on Monday in the middle of the afternoon. I don't know what else. I don't know what else I'm going to be doing
that day. So the 24th, the only bowl game that day, of course, we already talked about the SoFi Hawaii Bowl. December 26th. Let's go through Friday's games. So December 26th, first it's the Walk-Ons Independence Bowl between Miami, that's not of Ohio, but of Florida. They're 6-6 against 9-3 Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech is favored by – no, Miami's favored by 6, right?
I can't see that from what I'm looking at.
Yeah, Miami's favored by – opened at 6. I think it's up to 7. I am actually going to go with Louisiana Tech in this one.
So am I. This is basically a home game for Louisiana Tech. I think that they're a little bit underrated. I don't believe that Miami of Ohio is that good. And I'm just going to quick Florida. Plug in, pick whatever it is. And then quick plug in. Come on, that was the joke. Oh, okay. That was the joke, dude. Quick plug in for walk-ons. If you've got one near you, you want the Buffalo Chicken Sandwich.
Oh, did we talk about this last year?
It's a chain sports bar that's partially owned by Drew Brees, and then it's a couple guys that were walk-ons basketball at Louisiana State, and it's like Chili's, but the food's a little bit better, and they've got tons of huge TVs.
So, fun fact: Drew Brees was not a walk-on.
Drew Brees was not, but the guys who really founded the place were.
Drew Brees not a walk-on. All right, the Walk-Ons Independence Bowl we just talked about. Later that night is the Quick Lane Bowl between Pittsburgh and Eastern Michigan. Pittsburgh is 7-5. Eastern Michigan 6-6. Why is this a bowl?
I don't know. Quick Lane Bowl also available at your local bowling alley on Tuesday nights.
That's right. 11 point favorites.
They do
Pittsburgh.
Quick Lane Bowl night. It's a lot of fun.
I got Pittsburgh. I got the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm taking Pitt in this one.
And there's 100% chance I see some of that game just because.
You know what? I'd love to watch this game from a bowling alley.
That's right. Of course you would. Friday, we've got a couple of bowls. There's the Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman, North Carolina, and Temple. Temple was 8-4 this year. Mack Brown's fighting Tar Heels 6-6. The Tar Heels are favored by 4.5. I'm going with Temple.
I'm actually taking the Tar Heels here. I think this is an interesting matchup between a couple of programs, one of which kind of looked like it was starting to shine a year or two ago and has struggled some. And then Mack Brown, I feel like he's got North Carolina on a good trajectory. Anyway, it's an interesting story, interesting matchup, but I like Mack Brown in this one.
So do you think Mack Brown can't watch Saints games on Sunday?
I think Mack Brown still has Taysom Hill nightmares.
Yeah. Does he see that touchdown? I mean, that touchdown Taysom scored that was not the record breaker, right? It was the additive one. The Colts, were they trying to tackle him? Because it didn't work. I mean, they hit him twice and it didn't move him at all. It was amazing. It was fun. Then that night, there's a couple of games or afternoon and then night. The New Era Pinstripe Bowl, the worst idea ever. Let's put one in Yankee Stadium in terrible weather. And that is Michigan State 6-6, 8-4 Wake Forest. Michigan State's favored by 4.5. I'm going with the Spartans.
Definitely taking the Spartans here. Spartans cover this easily.
50% I see any of this game.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's tough. It's kind of in the middle of the day. But I'll watch some of it because I do think it's kind of fun to watch the games in the baseball stadiums. But I agree with you, in the end of December in New York?
Yeah, not great. The next bowl that we have up is the Academy Sports Plus Outdoors Texas Bowl. Academy Sports, we have them around here. Number 25, Oklahoma State, who's 8-4, 7-5, Texas A&M. Texas A&M is favored by 7?
Yes, and they win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. 100% chance I see some of this.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's a little piece of me that would like to attend it, but I'm sure I won't be able to get my hands on tickets. Yeah. Those Aggie fans are pretty serious.
They are pretty serious. The next one is, of course, the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl on Friday night. Number 22, USC. Number 16, Iowa. Iowa is favored by 2. I'm going with the Hawkeyes.
So am I. Why are we agreeing on all of these? I'm definitely
fine.
Taking
I'm taking
Iowa
the Trojans.
In this game. There you go.
Taking the Trojans. Hopefully, if they encounter a strange defense, they don't just keep doing the same thing like they did.
Yeah. See, I don't have a lot of faith in the Trojans here.
And then Friday night we have Air Force and Washington State in the Cheez-It Bowl. I didn't know that was a thing. That's a thing. There's a Cheez-It Bowl. Is that new?
It must have used, maybe it was something else previously. Because remember, there are some bowls that were just like their sponsor name.
Right.
And so maybe they just, somebody else, they just got bought out. I don't know what this was before.
Where is that one?
It's in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's in Phoenix, the Cheez-It Bowl. Huh. So 6-6 Washington State, 10-2 Air Force. Air Force is favored by 3. I'm going with the Fighting Mike Leeches.
What are we doing? I guess I'll take Air Force then, because I was going to take Washington State.
Only because I love Mike Leach. There's nothing football. My brain, again, tells me to pick Air Force. My heart tells me to pick Mike Leach.
No, my brain tells me to pick Washington State. I think they're going to be able to scheme for this. I think Washington State wins this.
All right. Cool. Good for you there, buddy. Well, that's the bowls. We'll come back next week and go through the rest of them, including our thoughts on the college football playoff. And Matt's going to explain to us why he thinks Oklahoma is the favorite. Right? Isn't that what you're going to tell us next week?
Wait, what?
That you think Oklahoma's the favorite to win the championship.
Yo, okay. So Saturday night, the night of the SEC championship game, I'm in San Antonio for something. I go out to dinner. June and I wore
LSU gear?
LSU gear. That's right.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're an LSU fan now.
Go Tigers.
Oh, I hate the SEC and their wee beady eyes. You're going to like our football? What movie am I quoting there?
I can't remember what that's from.
It's from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
That's right.
Colonel Sanders and his wee beady
eyes. You're
going to
like
our
chicken.
You're going to like me. You're going to eat my chicken. It puts a chemical in it that makes you crave it fortnightly.
We don't need to get into it today, but I think these playoffs are going to be fun. We'll talk about it on the next show.
We'll talk about it next time. I don't know what day we're going to record next week. Wednesday, probably not. I believe that's Christmas. So probably Thursday we'll record. But we'll record sometime after the game to give our reaction to the game. And probably we'll hold off and do our season finale show after the new year at some point. I don't know. Maybe we'll do it next week. I don't know. I'm just ad-libbing here at this point. Well, thanks everybody
just
for
kind of riffing.
Yeah, just kind of riffing. Maybe I'll start doing some beatboxing right now.
Beatboxing?
Yeah, maybe. You know, wow, wow. I don't know what I'm just doing. We're an hour and 8 minutes into this thing.
Is that like an abandoned cat? What was that sound?
Beatboxing, not my thing.
I haven't heard you try yet, so I don't know. Because whatever that sound that was that just came out of you was not beatboxing.
Now I can't get it out. But I'm going to blame you. Well, anyway, thanks.
Anybody out there? Anybody at all?
Probably not. Maybe Aaron's shouting at his PC again.
Stop talking, guys. The wheels have come off. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
No one's cut their losses.
End it. End it. And so we shall. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars.